I have to readjust myself because I find myself sitting on my balls. And as much as my wife loves hearing me, like, all of a sudden whimper like a dog, she'll know when I do it now, because, like, I'll sit down somewhere and then I'll just be like, ah!
So you got some long balls, huh?
I got the long balls, yeah. Cool. I do have long. They've gotten longer.
When did you get diagnosed?
I was 13 when the doctor first noticed it.
That's young.
Yeah, and it was weird because he was an eye doctor. So I didn't even know what he was fucking around with my balls for. Sweet potato pod with Todd. We ready?
Yeah, we're ready, buddy.
All right, cool. Do I need to do it?
If you can.
How's this? Yeah. Is that good?
See, he knows.
Fucking Jeremiah professional.
Knows, dude. He knows about the claps.
Hey, I'm trying to help in post, baby. I'm trying to help the post production of this pod.
That's the best part. Usually people are just like, what are you fucking clapping for?
I was directing somebody recently, and if I can't clap, I'll just do a snap, like, for audio later, and I did it in front of the camera. And the actress, she goes, okay, I'll start. Sorry. I was like, no. I wasn't snapping at you. No, I'm so sorry. I would never do that to you. I'm so sorry. She's like, oh. She thought I was like doing like dog training with her. I'm like, no. Like, do it now. Start through. You'll take now.
Was it a snap that I gave Josh Nasser when he was on that he freaked out about?
That was hilarious. Yeah, because you snapped at the camera and he was like, why are you doing
that? He's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, some people get thrown off because they don't know that you're doing it for audio purposes.
Yeah, well, yeah. And Josh Nasser's an idiot. He doesn't really know much about Hollywood or movies or social media at all.
Whoa, take that, Nasser. Go back to TikTok, bro. Compliment more people on drive-bys, dude, and get 50 billion views. Frick. It's so wild. I've known Nasser for a long time, and to see his social media journey of like him figuring out like what it is that he can do is like wild.
Yeah. Oh, dude, and the stuff, like, every week almost he's got something new. He's like, yeah, they're loading up my car with all these cameras for this product placement or this.
Oh,
or that,
cool.
Or whatever. So, yeah, it's great. It's huge.
Heck yeah.
I wish it was happening to a nicer guy, but I mean, like, it's fine. I love Josh. I always fuck with Josh on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, you guys do the road and stuff together, right?
We used to. Yeah. We haven't in a while, but it's hard to get someone to leave their house when they're making all their, you know, they're making millions of dollars or whatever, just riding up and down the road in front of their house,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
Meanwhile, I still have to just like, I'm trying to.
Hey, dude, we got a road dog, it, man. Absolutely. But I love going out on the road though.
I do too. It's weird. Now see, okay. So it's weird for me. Because I have the wife and I have two cats. You have a wife and two kids.
Yeah.
Right? So that's got to be a little bit even. Like, is the road, like, nice to get away from that for a little bit? Or is it rough?
Right now, while my boys are little, I'm trying to balance it by not going crazy hard on the road.
Yeah.
So, like do more, like, a couple weekends a month if possible, but I still gotta make money and, you know,
that
stuff. But while they're little like this, I'm trying to not go out on the road as much as I maybe typically would before. But it is, the road is a great place to catch up on some sleep for sure.
Yeah, I could.
Like, this morning, like, I pulled not an all nighter, but I got like a couple hours of sleep because I was doing like edits and random stuff and packing before Skankfest, and then I got into Vegas and I slept for like 5 hours, and that was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old are your kids now?
3 and 1.
3 and 1.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old are your cats now?
Well, the little one is 6 months now. So
is he going to be getting into football or what's going on?
Probably. Okay. He seems more like a theater.
I just ask all the typical child questions for the cats. So like, do you like one more than the other? Or?
Well, my boy, I've always wanted to have a son. So, you know, and he takes after me a lot. Like, you know,
because he's a pussy. Hey, he set himself up for that, folks. It's happening on the John Rice program today.
Dude, it's so cool to have you on here. You and I first met in 2019.
Yeah,
I remember it very well.
Hey, you know what? I remember it vividly as well. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, where were we?
We were at the Aladdin Theater.
Oh shit!
In Portland, Oregon, and we were doing a Kill Tony show there, and Todd came up and crushed. And I was Feminist Stacy on that episode, and we started talking, as you know, as Tony interviews the comics, that we find out that Todd was like a professional wrestler. And I don't remember exactly how it came to be, but you hoisted Feminist Stacy up on your shoulders and did like a 360, and the theater went insane.
I remember exactly how it came to be, because you looked at me and said, do you still have the strength to lift a woman?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
But wow. By the way, the answer right now would probably not.
Right.
But
right,
yeah,
right,
back
right,
then
right.
I still had a little bit.
Yeah.
Dude, that whole thing was wild. I don't know. I just mentioned this not too long ago on the podcast, but I feel like I manifested that whole thing, and I'm not like a big into manifestations or anything like that.
So yeah, well, let me hear from your point of view what you went into it with.
So like, I bought the tickets a month ahead of time.
Okay.
Right? And from that moment on, I swear to God, I pictured you guys coming out as the Feminists.
Whoa.
100%. I pictured getting called up. I pictured you and I wrestling on stage. I didn't really know what that would be so much. And then I pictured Kill Tony. God, I did that again. I call him Kill Tony. That's how I know him. As
I mean, that's his birth name.
In person, he wants me to call him Mr. Hinchcliffe. But,
right, right.
But no,
Master Hinchcliffe, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for the golden ticket.
Yes.
And then him giving me the golden ticket. And as soon as he brought you guys out and you were the Feminists, I was like, this is
going to happen.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
It's wild.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I've tried to manifest so much since then. It hasn't worked, but
what's something that you're manifesting right now?
I am manifesting getting noticed at Skankfest and potentially actually having management, which I've never had any sort of agent or anything like that.
That's a tough one for this fest, I think, but not to rain on the parade, but I'm like, what else you got? what other manifestations? I will say to, it's not impossible.
Right.
I did a series of festivals that eventually helped me get some, like an agent and stuff like that. And I would say like part of the manifestation process is like crush like you do. And I think that that's going to naturally organically happen. I don't know if it happened by the end of the weekend, but I think that you doing what you do, like it'll pay off for sure. Not to be negative. I'd be like, it's not going to happen this weekend, but I think it's important to just, I mean, Jeff Ross says all the time, enjoy the process. And it's like, it's a hard one to take sometimes while we're in it.
Yeah.
And, but it is good. It's a good quote for that.
It makes sense. Cause it's so weird. Cause like, I remember like when I first started out and I was doing open mics, right? Like just open mics all the time. And I would always say like, even if I never make a dollar at this, I just love doing this comedy thing. And then you get to a certain point where you're like, no, I need to make money. But like at the same time, you do get those. I mean, just here, walking around the fest, bumping into Brian Holtzman, bumping into Sam Talent, and just being a part of this and having people come up and know you from Kill Tony.
You're on the same roster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a crazy, it is something, enjoy the process is really a smart.
Yeah, it's a hard one. But yeah, do you have something else that's like bigger picture that you're like, oh, I really want to make this happen? Like as far as like career or something like that you're like manifesting, because that's so specific with the Kill Tony thing and you made that happen, and it's kind of mind blowing that all those details lined up too.
Yeah, I should. I have an idea for a sitcom that I really want to get out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's something that I should. I've always thought about like the different connections that I have to people and. Yeah, that's something I probably should focus more on.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be in your sitcom if whatever you need from me.
I would love to have you in the sitcom.
Whatever you need.
100%.
Heck yeah.
100%.
Heck yeah.
How about you, man? Like, because you have... It's so cool. We were actually just talking about this before while we were waiting for an hour and a half for you. We...
Yikes. Could we fly in a more uncomfortable couch? Oh wait, it's already here. Okay.
Oh, I thought these. They
don't move.
I thought I was doing a good job not moving them, but they just
no.
Don't.
They literally don't.
Yeah, I thought they moved.
I started doing this, and I'm like, oh, I'm not okay. I'm not leaning. Yeah. I made them wait. Like, and I apologize. I apologize for 35 minutes and over a burger. A burger. I got to the place. They made me wait at this place for 45 minutes. I kept like messaging Todd like updates, and I'm like, oh, each message is just killing me. Haven't got my burger yet. Sorry you have all of your production and crew here that's waiting for me. God. So mad at myself. I apologize on camera.
No worries.
And off camera, I apologized.
And I do want to say for people that are watching this, in case, because we haven't mentioned this is not the backsplash of a bathroom. It looks like, it probably looks like we're sitting in a bathroom.
No, we're in a gay bathhouse right now. This is where the studio is at. There's sauna over there. I just got the head nod from a couple of those guys over there. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, but this is, yeah, that's really crazy. But yeah, you've blown up so much from Kill. That's what we were talking about, is that, you know, there's a lot of like major stars coming out of Kill Tony, and I think you were the first real major star that's like, with everything that you're doing right now, between being the Joker, for God's sake, and stand up on the spot, man. And just everything. I mean, you're fucking killing it, dude.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I work very hard at what I do, and hopefully people enjoy it. And I try to do enough projects where if one project isn't for somebody, they might like one of my other projects. Because
yeah.
Like some people love Stand Up on the Spot, but they detest Trailer Tales. You know what I mean? Yeah, and some people, they just want to watch Trailer Tales, and you know, they don't want to watch the other stuff. So it's, you know, it's a
yeah.
good mix.
Have something for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Do you... people on Reddit, people on Facebook, people who watch this pod will hate me if I don't ask you.
I knew it might be coming. Stepping into the hot sofa on Todd's show.
This is why we glued these down.
So. Which side note, if you do want to sit in the chair, Jeremiah, you're welcome to change to the chair if it is more comfortable.
We're too far into the show now.
I'm riding it out. We're not doing a camera shift. Are you crazy? We're not resetting the cameras after I was 40 minutes late over a burger, brother. Our Reddit correspondent is calling into the show, really desperate for me to answer this next question that's about to come this way. Todd, let's pitch it back to you in the studio.
All right, here we go. No, it's not. It's not that deep. Why does Tony Hinchcliffe hate you?
Oh. Dude, the amount of messages and stuff I get, I'm like, dude, Tony doesn't hate me. I don't hate him. I actually love Tony. Tony and I are like brothers. And the thing is that we fight like brothers too.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's dude, look at wrestling. There's gonna be heightened moments on stage.
Of course.
But any of the videos, like the most recent one where people are messing with it, yeah, what's going on? It's like Tony and I are hugging on stage, but you're not seeing that.
Right.
You're not looking for that because you're looking for the angles and stuff like that. And people tag me like, did you see this thing about you on YouTube or Reddit? I'm like, I don't want to look at that stuff.
Yeah.
But I love Tony, dude. I'm very grateful for my time on Kill Tony and touring with Tony stand up. We did like his Monster Energy Drink tour, and it got me into so many of the clubs that I continue to work today because I featured for him, and he introduced me to the bookers, and it laid the foundation of meeting people and then being like, oh, this guy can headline. Like this dude's funny. And then when the following caught up to the funny, that's when you start working a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, it is funny because I think because I'm a lot more accessible than a lot of people, than most people, I get asked that a lot. Like, what is the deal with Tony and Jeremiah? And I'm like, I always write back, like, first off, I don't know. It's not like, you know, right. But I'm like, I don't think
Todd, there's a problem. I got some hot goss for you. I'm coming over to your hotel, but I'll be there 40 minutes late. But I'll have some hot goss for you. I love Tony. I can't say enough nice things about what he's helped me out with over the years, like as far as like comedy and stuff goes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have anything without Tony Hinchcliffe right now. but it is funny when you're even a small, tiny little part of a show like that, that because the number of comedians this week that started hitting me up to ask me like, where do we do signups? Where do we do? What time do we have to go to? I'm like, sure. Tony doesn't run this shit by me. Like, yeah, I don't, yeah, yeah. I gotta go backstage. I don't know what you guys.
Yeah.
You know, and then you want to help them, but at the same time, it's like, what the fuck do I know?
Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. I get hit up about it all the time. I literally was headlining a show in San Francisco. First guy in the meet and greet line. Before I could even, like, you know that post set haze you get a little bit, like you're like trying to collect yourself, like after you just did time where you're, yeah, like you're vibing, you're like, okay, I'm gonna walk over to the table, blah, blah, blah. First guy is standing in line, what's going on with you and Tony? I was like, good grief, I just did an hour and that's what you've been waiting this whole time? Like, did you enjoy the show? Hopefully you like, yeah, the show, you know. But yeah, it's whatever. It's, you know, it's comedian soap operas and all that stuff. It's,
yeah.
It's, but yeah, it's wrestling, baby.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I'm the heel. Maybe he's the heel. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows yet. But someday we'll get you guys in the ring, and that's what's gonna happen.
He'll dominate me in the ring.
Yeah, probably.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
He would dominate me.
I saw him like manhandle David Lucas once at the mothership. Well,
David Lucas isn't the most fit person. I don't know if that's,
I mean,
what...
to me he is. Like, to me he's, you're doing like, pretty
go
well.
Wait, go wait, go wait.
Yeah, they did arm wrestle, right? David Lucas and Tony.
I think they actually think grappled kinda, once. Yeah. It's like on, yeah. I think both like shirtless on stage, like after a show or whatever.
But... I mean, that was the only caveat. It had to be shirtless.
I gotta say that the tank top is glorious, dude. That's amazing. Did you see the one and only Corey Feldman's solo, Todd? And what was your thoughts on his glorious solo at his shows? Have you seen that video?
Mm-mm.
You haven't seen. You guys haven't seen the video of him with the glorious solo?
No.
You guys gotta check that, because even the singer Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit went on stage to watch him do it to make sure he was really playing it.
Whoa.
It's not good though. That is a great tank top.
This is, we can't show clips right now, so mm-hmm. That was kind of a whole pointless fucking thing.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Like, I like good podcasts that never show the visual, but they're like, but you can imagine.
Can you picture it?
For copyright reasons, we're not going to put it up, but have you seen that?
He'll tell everyone the story and I'll go order a burger.
Right.
I did see the something... and I wanted to see if you'd be interested in this at all. Not that I can offer it, but my wife sent me a clip today that showed that in Japan, they're working on an MRI machine that can actually read your dreams. So, like, you'd sleep in the machine, and it'll actually film your... It's supposed to be able to film your dreams, then you could actually watch it back.
I would love...
Right?
I would love to see that.
I'm the same way. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would hate it. I would love it.
I would love to see what it... Oh, man, I would... Man, I make clips on IG for it, dude. Yes. I make reels for my dreams, bro. It would be cool. It would be very cool. Also, I would like to know sometimes when you dream what was actually playing versus what you remember.
Right.
Ooh, because that's the main cutoff is sometimes you wake up and you remember fragments of the dream, but you don't really remember, you know?
Yeah. Is there have you ever had a dream that you just it like however many years ago or whatever, it's just always stuck with you? Like, there's just something about it that you can't shake. It's just,
I have a lot of dreams that I've remembered over the years, but I think there's a couple type of people. There's people who don't remember their dreams at all, or there's people who very much remember their dreams. I remember a lot of my dreams. One of the scariest dreams I've ever had was when I was a kid, and it was essentially a zombie type dream where the monsters that, like, because I didn't know what a zombie was as a kid, so I remember, like, monsters were coming out of the ground in my backyard in my childhood home, and if they touched you, you became a monster. And I remember like I'm running from them and stuff, and I had locked myself in the bathroom, and they had touched my mom right outside the bathroom, and she became a monster.
Oof.
Yeah. So I saw my mom become a monster, and I was like crying in the dream. Then I woke up and I was like, my face was completely soaked in tears. And
isn't it fucked up to think, like, you can traumatize yourself a child having a dream like that?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But you would want to replay that dream? You'd want to watch that again?
I would want to see it. Oh, I would love to see it now to see what, like, how... how cartoony it was compared to like being an adult, like to them, like how scary it actually was, or if I was just a pussy, dude.
It would be great if they could actually, with this MRI machine, if they could actually find your old dreams too. Like, it's like if it's hidden away somewhere in your head. And then everyone just sits around watching dreams.
I mean, my old wet dreams.
All right, so we want to take a second here just to say thank you to our sponsor, Blue Chew. Our sponsor needs no introduction. You've seen the ads. You've heard us talk about it a million times. And I bet there's a big part of you, pun intended, that has always wanted to try it. And now you have that opportunity. We are talking about Blue Chew. Blue Chew wants the entire country rock hard. They truly care about your dick and its stiffness. And they told me that's the mission, is to make the entire country rock hard. They will not stop until every man's bricked up like a brick house. They will not stop until every tent is pitched. They will not stop until every rod is raised. And you can discover your options at bluechew.com. And we've got a special deal. When you listen or watch the Sweet Potato Pod, it's not just about comedy and information. I want your dick hard. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew now for free when you use promo code Sweet Potato Pod at checkout and just pay $5 in shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code Sweet Potato Pod to receive your first month free. Visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast.
Dude, if I could walk into a room and there's VHS tapes of all my old wet dreams, I would for sure be curious what
just
was going on.
Just you and Jolena going at it? And just
No.
I had a dream like shortly after my grandfather died when I was 8 years old.
Okay.
And I only know that this really happened because my mom has the memory of us having this conversation. I had a dream where he called me from heaven and told me to tell my grandma not to worry about the money because he had set something aside for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what the fuck, 8 years old, I didn't know what that meant. And then I told my mom that in the next morning. And that day we were on our way to go see my grandma. And when we got there, she had received some notification that he had set aside some money that she didn't know about.
Whoa.
And he had set that aside for her. And he was like, she's like, I didn't know anything about it. My mom's like trying to explain to her, well, Todd had this dream. And she's, you know, she just lost her husband. My grandma's like, I don't care what your stupid kids dream. Like, but yeah, that was a weird one.
Dude, you might be a little bit of like an empath, or you might have a little bit of you know what I mean? Something going on there. Some psychic wavelengths going on.
I did just empath gas. I don't know if that, you'll catch that. Stupid. So fucking stupid. Well, I think you know what time it is. You clearly a big fan. It's time to go off the Todd rope.
Oh, thank God. The producer just locked the door as soon as he said that in the hotel room, and I got real scared.
Yeah, we are at El Cortez. We're in a hotel room. You guys don't see it, but like right on the other side, like right here, is this nice queen size bed.
There's 10 naked dudes on this bed right now.
It's true.
Out of frame.
And a few of them are conscious still. This is, we got a real freak off party going on
it's
right
like
now.
It's like the feet in it, yeah.
okay.
I do like the wrestling ring.
You
touch.
Like that?
Yeah. It's a nice touch, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know if you follow sports, but in pro wrestling, you go off the top rope, but my name's Todd, so off the Todd rope. All right. I wanted to make sure that wasn't over your head.
I got it.
Okay, good. All right, here we go. Here's the first one. What's a funny habit you do at home while no one is watching? Funny habit.
A funny habit. I've been doing this since I was a kid. Sometimes I roll the skin up from my penis over the head of the penis and then just see how far I can put it over the tip. And then I let it go. And like I used to do it as a kid, and it used to bloom like a flower.
Yeah.
I still do that sometimes.
Does it spring more now, or is it a little slower?
It depends how cold or hot I am, to be honest. Yeah.
That's understandable.
Yeah. That's a funny habit idea. It was a weird quirk.
I get it. Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to push mine in.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, God. Make it an innie.
Make it an innie.
Yeah.
It's just like, I was like, is this masturbating?
But yeah.
It didn't help at all.
Yeah. That's one that I can think of. Yeah.
That is an interesting one.
I also, I don't know if you do this. Do you ever, like, while you eat something, do you put your nuts up against stuff? Like, while you eat? Like, a bowl of cereal or something?
Put my nuts against the bowl of cereal?
Like, up against a counter or something.
Oh! Let's see how these Fruity Pebbles feel.
No. Do you ever, like, I always, like, put my weight, like, it's like a comfort thing. Like, I'll, like, if there's, you know, if the counter's right here, like, I'm eating the bowl of cereal, like.
Just, you know what? I've done things like that, except as I've gotten older now, a lot of times it's like I have to readjust myself because I find myself sitting on my balls. And as much as my wife loves hearing me, like, all of a sudden whimper like a dog, she'll know when I do it now, because, like, I'll sit down somewhere and then I'll just be like, ah!
So you got some long balls, huh?
I got the long balls, yeah.
Cool.
I do have long. I've gotten longer.
When did you get diagnosed?
I was 13 when the doctor first noticed it.
That's young.
Yeah, and it was weird because he was an eye doctor. So I didn't even know what he was fucking around with my balls for. But I'm not a medical professional. I don't know.
You're not going to ask questions.
I'm not going to. Well, actually, I am. That's what this is here. If you could be invisible for one day, what would you do?
Invisible for one day.
Could you want to rob a bank or something?
I think
crazy
he gets
like
the question.
I mean, yeah. I'm just curious, because most people, right, that's their thing, is like commit a crime.
Yeah.
Crazy. I'm
trying to think of what would be the most useful thing to do while being invisible. I feel like the crime is a little bit too easy to do. I would probably do a routine day, like do one of my routine days, but like I would go and see how people treat you after you leave a place.
Oh, right.
So, which may be paranoid, but like I'm thinking, like even like at my down to like my son's daycare, like I want to see what is actually happening when my wife and I are not there.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to see like stuff like that.
Yeah,
where like
answer.
If I leave a party or whatever, you could like it would be a whole day and night where I'd just be curious to feel what's going on for that 2 minutes afterwards after you leave somewhere, because then you would get a full representation. Honestly, what I would do is I would love to use it for comedy purposes to get an idea and gauge of after I go up on stage of what comics actually think, how well you actually did, or if they're
I would love
to know like peers' true like feedback after a set.
I thought you were gonna say the audience, like you would sneak in their back seat and
No, that's too much.
No, but it's almost that George Costanza thing from Seinfeld where you leave the recording machine behind.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
and yeah. That's now great. Now I'm going to do that in Green Room. I'm going to buy a recorder just to be like, listen to this fat hack.
No, that'd be interesting. Just kind of like, I don't know. I guess
that's
I'd do
smart.
It for that.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I love that answer. That's
great. Yeah. If you could uninvent something, what would you choose and why?
Probably the internet.
Yeah. See, that one would be tough for me because, at least my whole entire career is based on the internet.
A big part of my career is based on the internet, too, but...
Yeah. But it is an evil.
It's... For me, I really don't like how much I have to be connected to my phone because it's part of the lifestyle where if we were comics in the 70s or 80s... The only way to get noticed is to be funny.
Right. Yeah.
It's literally the only way. And if somebody didn't like you, you go to a different club.
Yeah.
If you know, it was just like a different thing. It's cool and it's empowering that we can make our own stuff, but it's exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, like to constantly like be your own production company and put stuff out and stuff like that. So it would probably be the internet. It's, there's a lot of pros, obviously, but the human connection side, the parasocial relationships is a weird, and I just learned what that term is recently.
Parasocial is a good word.
It's, if you haven't heard that term, it's basically feeling like you know somebody or know what's going on in their life, even though you're not talking with them at all. And that's, for me, because of family and friends who, like, you put out a lot of stuff, sometimes people aren't connecting the same way. And I do miss when people would just call you up and be like, hey, what's new, dude? What's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, versus, like, they're like, oh, I know what's going on because I saw your story. And I'm like, we didn't even talk.
Yeah.
You know, like.
No, I totally get what you're saying.
That's a weird paradox of like when you do put out a lot of stuff, like it's sometimes like, well, I know what you've been up to. So
yeah,
I guess this is going to be a one-sided conversation now. Yeah. I don't know.
And it's so weird too because I've had the opposite of that where like my mom will send me messages and be like, hey, what are you doing today? And I'm like, I'm in Austin. And I'm part of me is like, fucking look at my story.
Mom, do you not follow me?
What's going on?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I would have said 9/11. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we all have our. I would have uninvented 9/11.
You would have uninvented 9/11. I mean, we could go down a lot of horrible events if we're uninventing that stuff then.
Do you think you would be friends with a clone of yourself?
Oh, absolutely, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. Hopefully I would be smart enough where he could be under my control. Right, listen, you and I combined, we can get a lot more work done. You start doing this and I start doing this and then we can Freaky Friday when we need to. Sure. And you know.
Yeah, you go book the next stand up on the spot and I'll come over here.
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I always, when people ask me superpowers, I always say that the top superpower that I would want to do is the ability to make copies of myself so I could do work and different things, like different versions of myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could create one of myself that would go to the gym.
Maybe.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be, I don't know. Last one. What's the weirdest gift you've ever received?
Weirdest gift. One of them is Spider-Man 3 on Blu-ray after it was critically not reviewed well.
Right.
It was clearly a gas station purchase for my dad on Christmas. It was a bargain bin thing. It was after my parents' divorce where he, obviously I found out quickly, never got our gifts, and it was always my mom who got the gifts. And I was like, it was like, that's why it was so weird to me, because it's not that weird at the end of the day, but it's more what it represented. I was like, oh, you had no, like nothing to do with any of my gifts as a kid, but yeah, you helped pay for them.
Right.
You worked, you did the dad thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you were like, what do they want, you know?
Right.
I'll help you get it. Like, he, you know, we got the Nintendo 64. We got that stuff for Christmas, like and you know, I had an awesome childhood as far as that stuff goes, but when I was like more like becoming more an adult and I saw that a Blu-ray DVD and socks for my dad for Christmas, I'm like, this dude put zero effort into this gift.
And then like a quart of Pennzoil or whatever.
Yeah, it was like the most random, like, yeah, the next year he got me Long Johns. I was like these are just dad gifts, bro.
Yeah, we can just. Do you guys do the thing where does like do your kids get you presents, like where obviously your wife is getting them, and then you're
I'm definitely followed in the footsteps of my dad as far as that stuff goes. It's like I'll support as much, you know, as I can, and talk it out with my wife, but I'm not. She's the one who's making the decisions ultimately on like if there's a new toy coming in or whatever.
Yeah,
I never buy stuff for them on the road, just because I go on the road so much, I don't want to set a precedent, especially at a young age where they're like, when I come home, what do you got for me?
Right.
So I never get them anything.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's smart. I don't do that with my cats either. I mean, every once in a while, I'll get them a little, fucking cats, they just get them a little thing and then they're, they lose their mind over it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find with your kids, do you ever take the red laser pointer and just run it up the wall and see if they'll run and chase it, or is that...
I should try it. I feel like my younger son, he's not as smart as the older one.
Sure.
You'd
hope not.
He's one, though, so how could he be as smart as a three-year-old? Yeah. I'm not giving him too much credit yet, but there's signs. he might like the laser pointer.
Yeah. Do you have any dates coming up? I assume the answer is yes, but...
Don't tell my wife. Hello. I will be coming up in Batavia, Illinois, Louisville, Kentucky. Stand up on spots every second Tuesday of the month at the Comedy Store. And more dates to be added.
Dude, but, that's awesome.
Yeah, Jeremiah Stand Up on all social media. And yeah, check out Stand Up on the Spot and Trailer Tales.
Fuck yeah, dude. It's great. Yeah. That's a great show.
Thanks.
That's
you dig it?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
It's so fun.
It's fun. I mean, Chelsea Lynn and Libby Higgins, if you do not know who they are, I cannot recommend them enough to you. I've met a lot of comedians and worked with a lot of comedians, and they are a couple of the funniest comics that I've worked with. They really, really genuinely crack me up, like how funny and how natural they are.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've gotten a chance to talk a little bit with Chelsea. I haven't met her yet in person, but we just like on social media, we're fucking great.
Yeah.
Great person, hilarious.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be good to get her on the pod.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about other guests. Yeah. Now we got Jeremiah Watkins. Let's try to get Chelsea on.
Hey, use me as leverage. Hello. Do you have any other burning questions that are on the mind before we go?
Hit him with one more.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
Yeah. This is... All right. If we were forced to elect a celebrity to be the president, who would you pick?
The Rock.
The Rock? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd choose The Rock. I think it's going to happen, though. I've been saying it for years.
Yeah, you think The Rock is...
He will be... I think he'll be our president in 12 years from now.
12 years. Oh, shit. You've heard it here. Who do you think...
8 to 12 years from now.
Yeah.
We're clipping that, and if it happens...
Dude, that's...
Yeah. Hey, if this podcast is still going in 8 or 12 years, then I commend you. I commend you deeply, and I hope it's the biggest podcast on freaking planet Earth by that point. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, because Rogan will already be at Mars doing his. So
Yeah.
If you had to pick a running mate for The Rock, because I think the cutest answer would be Kevin Hart, but I don't know if that's...
No, it would have to be a politician that is not... affiliated with Hollywood at all to balance out the ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the way to go.
Yeah.
If you woke up to be the last person alive on Earth, what would you do first?
I would probably start crashing some cars first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like destruction a little bit.
One man derby.
Yeah. Just like driving through storefront windows and stuff like that. I'd love that. Exploding some stuff, lighting some stuff on fire.
Yeah.
But then after I got that out of my system, I'd be like, okay, I'm the last person alive. Like, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just try to impregnate different things and see if it'll work. See if you can start a whole new...
A whole new race of people?
Yeah.
I mean...
Leave my cats alone, but I mean, other than that...
Yeah, that would be weird if that worked.
All of a sudden, just a bunch of cat Jeremiahs running around.
Yeah, like wolf people and stuff like
that. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that'd be odd.
That would be. That's the type of dream you'd probably see if they get
that. I would love to see that dream.
That'd be a great dream.
That'd be amazing. Oh, shit, 2 came out. Which one? Let's see this one. If your life had a theme song, what would it be?
Probably the Doug theme song. It's probably just that.
Great show.
No, I would hope if my life had a theme song. One of I've said this before, but it's my it's like one of my favorite songs ever. It's I put on this song anytime something good happens in my life or I need a pick me up, and it's Steve Winwood's Higher Love.
Oh, fuck, that's...
It's an epic song that it's really hard to not feel good by the end of that song.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Yeah. There's like so much soul in it that like I would hope it'd be something positive where people like after they listen to the theme song of my life, they're like, oh, that affected me and I feel good about myself now.
Yeah.
That would be the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, last one. If you could travel back in time, what period would you go to?
I think probably prehistoric.
Really?
Oh, dangerous.
I would want to see, I mean, if I have the ability to get out of there as soon as I want to, if this is the hypothetical,
yeah,
I would love to check out dinosaur times.
Yeah.
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 I can see that.
Because every other era, like, it'd be cool, but I would want to. I'm an extreme person as far as like my likes and stuff like that go. So I would, since we're already, it'd be way into the future or way into the past. It wouldn't be like I want to go back to the roaring 20s and see what's going on there.
Yeah,
that wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever? But like when you were a kid, like, did you ever think about time travel or? Like I was obsessed, I think, because Back to the Future came out when I was a kid. It's my favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, and I became obsessed with it to the point where, like, I can remember a day when I went out on my front porch and I thought to myself, I'm going to dedicate my entire life to figuring out how time travel works, and then I'm going to come back to this exact moment at this exact date at this exact time and tell me how it works so I can just start using my time machine now. And then I stood there on the porch like a dummy waiting to see if I popped up somewhere. And I did not.
You need to see Back to the Future on Broadway.
Oh, I bet that's... I've been wanting to see it. It's coming to Vegas, actually.
You should see it.
Yeah.
I went into it... Like, I hadn't been to, like, theater in years. And especially as a comic, you go on like, what is this going to be? And then, like, I find that if you give yourself over to anything that is outside of... something that you may be drawn to, if you live in that moment, it's so much fun. Like, I've been to like raves and stuff like that that are not my scene at all, but like I ended up like taking my shirt off and whipping it around and like being in the pit and just dancing like sweaty, like hard and stuff like that. And I would never have wanted to do, like, sought out to do it, but like I got invited by like a friend for a birthday, and I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna soak it up and just live in this. I did that with Back to the Future on Broadway. I was like, we'll see. Like, I grew up enjoying theater and being in theater, but it's been so many years, it almost felt like a foreign format.
Right.
Because it's so big and so different. But, like, once I was in it, I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, they had the DeLorean, and it flew out over the audience.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. It was, the special effects, the practical special effects are incredible in it. And I love practical stuff and horror movies and Lord of the Rings, all that stuff. That over CGI any day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Agreed, 100%.
I nerd out about that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. Fuck, man.
Yeah, the new Alien Romulus, you see that?
No.
That was a lot of practical effects.
Yeah,
Check it out. It's a phenomenal movie, dude.
Hers great. Did you hear that NBA prospect is the actor who plays the 7 foot tall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real guy.
Dude.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he plays the character.
And they put him in crazy prosthetics and makeup.
And it's creepy, too, but a great movie. I love the Alien franchise. And that one, it's very old school, but a lot of practical effects that are
Heck
like...
Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard that one's really, really good.
I love that.
Dude, I did see... I saw Book of Mormon on Broadway when we went to New York.
Oh, cool.
And that was pretty cool.
I heard it's awesome.
Yeah.
Funny enough... Tony and I both auditioned for that in LA when that was going around, and Tony actually got pretty far.
Really?
Yeah, he got pretty far.
As one of the Mormons of the... Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah. Whatever I did in my audition, they're like, we don't need that. But but I think like Tony got callbacks and stuff.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That was cool.
Well, there was a lot of gay stuff, so that's probably a lot of that. Probably no, they were like, that makes...
He was singing and acting. It wasn't just for the gay stuff. Todd,
sorry,
you trying to clickbait me again, dude?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
That's the real. Dude, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Dude,
this is
of course.
Gonna be, okay, there we go.
Absolutely.
I thought this was going to be a weird, like, Louise.
No, not at all.
No, dude, it's so awesome. It's great to see you, too. It's been years, and Skankfest, this is the perfect place.
You know what's crazy? I actually thought of you because it had been years since I had been to the Aladdin Theater, and just a few months ago, I came back to the Aladdin Theater as Feminist Stacy on Dr. Phil Live.
Really?
And played that same venue. Wow. So I was thinking of you when I was doing that. I was like, the last time I was here, Todd was lifting me up and spinning me around on his shoulders to the ovation of the crowd there. And it was this time when I came back and did it, Feminist Stacy was calling out Danger Aaron from Jackass, saying there's not enough female cast members on the show. And he basically let Feminist Stacy audition for the show. The clip's up on my YouTube if you want to check it out. But he lit my pubes on fire. He tased me.
Jesus.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Watch that.
It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah. Adam Ray as Dr. Phil's amazing. And your character's on there. Just add to your character's always great. Man. So it's
AR Mark, fun, AI dude. Mark Norman.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Hey, hey. Comedy. Heck yeah, dude. Yeah. If you, you know, watch any of those OG Kill Tonys, I do a lot of those characters that I've been honing and workshopping over the years on the new Dr. Phil Live. So check that out with Adam Ray. It's always super fun to check out that show.
Great. Quick questions. I know we're supposed to wrap it up, but are there any of those, like especially that the entire band was in on, are there any of those that A, stand out as a favorite or just what that you really, that you miss doing and you want to bring back in some way that you haven't been able to do on Dr. Phil?
So the way that Adam and I do these shows is like, I will, I'll pitch him different ideas, like for my segment. Mm-hmm. And then like, he'll pitch me stuff as well. Like, so we like go back and forth and I've been pitching for a while and I'm hoping they get in eventually on a show where it makes sense. I've been pitching the Milkman and Jack the Ripper to return, because the Milkman is one of my favorite characters because you know what's going to happen every time.
Right.
And he, it's just like a guy who's just getting high on his own supply. I just like that so much, like as like his trope of like he can't help himself. It's almost like a, it's like a tic that he's going to drink milk until he vomits. he's gonna do it. He's gonna keep drinking milk until he's violently ill and throws it up, and you get to see it all go down and you get to see it all come back up, and it's a fun one. And then Jack the Ripper is just a fun, like insane character that I'm hoping Dr. Phil can help with his murdering problem. So we'll see if those make the cut down the line.
Hell yeah, man. Thank you so much, dude.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for coming on, everybody.
Thank you.
Like, comment, subscribe. Later.